Thank you. What we're going to do now is to look at the Bible verses that we're structuring our service around today. But to look at those Bible verses, we're going to use a story form of doing that. And for that, I'm going to split the church into three separate groups. And there'll be a script that comes up on the screen in a moment. And I'm going to encourage you in nice loud voices to tell the story. So as far as the slides are concerned, this side of the church is side one. So when it says side one, please read what is there. Now, I've been extremely naughty because side two, this is all of you, but our back row has its own part. And I've been so pickly because the back row have got all the really hard words. So Paul maybe will give you a hand because it is the voice of Paul that is coming from the back row. All right. So what we've got is side one, who are the friends that are traveling with Paul. Paul is the voice of the back row there, and you guys, you are the voice of the Holy Spirit. All right? Yes, I can see, Dom, you are really thrilled. You've been elevated there. So let's give this a go, and I will try to direct you. So let's go, side one. Hey, Paul, what are we going to do today?
I know. Let's go on a road trip.
Hey, Paul, where are we going?
I know. Let's talk about God in Ephesus.
No.
So they packed up a picnic and they got on the road.
Hey, Paul, are we nearly there yet?
Just heading through Phrygia.
Hey, Paul, are we nearly there yet?
Just passing through Galatia.
Hey, Paul, are we nearly there yet?
Just passing through Mysia. Next stop, Bithynia.
No, not there. Hey, Paul, what are we going to do today?
I know. Let's go on a road trip.
Hey, Paul, where are we going?
I know. Let's talk about God in Troas.
So they packed up a picnic and got on the road. They went to bed, and that night, Paul had a dream.
Will you go there?
Yes! Well done. That was so good. Paul went to sleep thinking about what he had seen in the morning. So they packed up a picnic and they got on the road with a new spring in their step. After God's no came God's yes. Brilliant. Well done, everyone. And thanks, Nick, for keeping that moving.
I've been watching you all singing in your heads now and looking for where you get to the guitar solo. That is a real Bible story. If you want to follow it in the real Bible, it's in Acts chapter 16. It starts at about verse 6. And if you want to read those verses, that story is, it wasn't quite in those words, but that story is there in the New Testament. That's what happened to Paul and his friends. A couple of years ago, I went for a hike for a few days in December. It was during my sabbatical. And I had a rucksack, and I had a tent, and I had all the gear I needed. And I set out to do a three-day walk. And if I'm really honest, as I got going, I did wonder whether I'd bitten off a bit more than I could chew. Because it was snowy, and it was slippery, and it was incredibly muddy. And my pack was very heavy. And more than once during the 3 days, I wondered whether I was going to have to give up and turn around and go home again. But I got through to the third day of this walk, and about an hour after lunch on the third day, I came to a part of the hike where they had bulldozed, literally bulldozed everything in sight. There were no trees, there were no fences, there were no footpath signs that I'd been happily following for the last 2 days. There was just this moonscape of soggy mud. And nothing, all the things that you would look at that would give you an idea of your bearings, had gone. The bulldozers were there, but they weren't on my map, so that was no use at all. And I got, I hate to admit it, because I like to think that I'm quite good at this kind of thing, but I got thoroughly lost. And I wandered around in this muddy wilderness for a little while, and I got lost enough that when I finally found a footpath sign, I turned onto that footpath in exactly the wrong direction. And I walked, carrying my heavier than three people sitting in it rucksack, for an hour, and an hour later, I found myself at the place that I'd had lunch 2 hours before. I thought, I very nearly sat down and cried. I didn't think I was going to be able to carry on. I was so frustrated. I was so angry with myself. I was so fed up with the whole situation because I'd walked for 2 extra hours beyond what I needed. Just imagine how Paul and his friends must have felt in that story. They were taking a seriously long journey. It would have taken weeks walking in the heat. But they were going to tell people about Jesus, that they were doing God's work. But just when they thought they were getting somewhere, God spoke to them and said, "No, stop, not this way." Well, that must have been a bit disappointing. We're doing this for you, God, come on. We're doing what we thought was right. And so they turned in a different direction and started walking in a different way. Only to find that again, God says, "No, stop. Not this way." We don't know how God said stop. We don't know how he said no. It could have been a dream. It could have been a prophetic word. It could have been a very dramatic spiritual thing. Or it might just have been that the circumstances changed and for one reason or another they couldn't go that way any longer. And therefore they concluded that that must be God saying no. It doesn't tell us in the Bible. It could have been either. But I wonder how they felt. I wonder how we would have felt. Disappointed, frustrated, confused. It's a hard thing when God says no. Because sometimes you pray your hardest and you serve your hardest, and at some point when you're not expecting it, God speaks to you out of the blue one way and another and says no. Stop. Not that way. But God, I like that way. I was quite enjoying going that way. And I like knowing where I'm going and what direction I'm supposed to be going and what speed I'm going at. I like being in charge of those things. No. Stop. Not that way. And I bet Paul and his friends were confused. And I bet they were disappointed. And I bet you've been there too, because I certainly have. But I am so glad that they kept on walking. Now, if you read this story in the Bible, it sounds as though it all happens just like this. It sounds as though the dream happened the next night. But that cannot have been the case, because if you read it really carefully and if you look at a map, there are about 200 miles between where God first said no and where Paul had his dream that told him where they were going to go next. That's a lot of walking. That's a lot of still trusting God without having any idea of what on earth it is that God's playing at. That's a lot of faith in God's goodness, even in the middle of Paul's disappointment and frustration. They kept walking. And I think they kept walking for one reason, and that was that Paul knew that when God says no, even when God says no and no and no and no, sooner or later, there's going to be a yes. 200 miles later, which I bet felt like a lifetime without any idea of what was going to happen at the end of it, God gave Paul a dream. He said, "Hey, Paul, come to Macedonia." Well, in the dream, it was a person from Macedonia that said, "Hey, Paul, come to Macedonia." So, not Asia then? And not Bithynia? No. Not there, not there, but yes, come to Macedonia. So I wonder how you and I respond when we get disappointed. When it feels like doors shut, when it feels like lights turn red, when plans don't so much come together as come apart. When God says no, do you give up? Do you get mad? Or do you keep walking with him and looking for his yes? We've asked Carol whether she would share a little bit of their story because they've had some experiences a little bit like what I've just been talking about. So be really friendly. Give her a round of applause as she comes up.
So, 3 years ago, we felt it was the right time to come to Southampton to be near our family. Our daughter, son-in-law, and three grandchildren are here in the area. Also, my brother and sister, their families, and my mother. Over those 3 years, we never heard a no from the Lord, but it was a time of problems. Either we had sold our house but couldn't find anything to buy here, or we found something to buy in Southampton but couldn't sell our house. All the way through, we did feel that our trust in our Heavenly Father was being stretched and built. We prayed a lot. We used the armour of God from Ephesians 6 and the all types of prayer as given in Philippians 4. And we were also clinging to the Proverbs verses, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Thank you very much. Give her another round of applause. Carol doesn't know I'm going to say this, and I'm hoping I'm not going to get into loads of trouble after the service. Sometimes you hear somebody talking about something, and you so relate to what they're saying that what's going on inside you is, I'd really like that person to pray for me. And I suspect that if that's the case, that Carol would be very happy to pray for you after the service. I'm getting a thumbs up. Phew. So if that's touched a nerve with you, perhaps look for Carol after the service, and she'd be glad to pray with you.